շաբաթ նոյեմբեր 12-ին հայ գետրոնի մեջ համասկայինի Կոմիտաս մասնաճյուղին գազմագերբությամբ տեղի ունեցավ Սասուն Գրիգորյանի Smart Nation, a Blueprint for Modern Armenia քրկի շնորհանդեսը։ Սասունն ախոսեցավ, թե ինչու ամարքարած է քրկը, թե ինչպես ինքը աշխատի մեծ ընկերություններու մոտ, որոնց տարեկան եկամուտը ավելի մեծ է, քան Հայաստանի կառավարության համախառն ներքին եկամուտը, եւ որոշած է իր ներդրումը ունենալ Հայաստանի զարգացման եւ փարգավաճման գործի մեջ։
The reason why I've written this book was I wanted to approach this issue very differently. Like many people in this room who've come here tonight, you've obviously come here tonight because you have an interest in what's happening in Armenia. And I also wanted to approach it from my background. So, as was mentioned, I've worked in different companies and I've helped those companies grow. And each of the companies I've worked for, their revenue they earn every single year is more than Armenia's annual GDP, which is an annual GDP of $10 billion USD per annum. So I thought if I've been employed by these companies to help them, why can't I apply that skill and try to help Armenia in a positive way?
Քիրկը կրելու երկրորդ պատճառը պատասխանատվության հարցն է Սասուն։ Պատասխանատվությունը, որ մենք փոլորս ունենք Հայաստանի նկատմամբ։
But we do have a responsibility. Just like people of my generation, a lot of my generation parents migrated to this country. They sacrificed for the next generation, for my generation. That's what they did. And that generation now is my generation. We have that responsibility to the future generation of Armenians in Armenia. It's our responsibility to help create the economy that Armenia deserves and that we should expect. That's not going to rely on others. We have to rely on ourselves to do that. So that's the reason why I wrote this book.
Ինչու Սասուն Հայաստանը խելացի երկիր կնկատի?
But a few months ago, I attended a US-Australia business roundtable at the Opera House, which featured, the keynote speaker there was US Vice President Joe Biden. And one of the things he said struck with me. He said that one of the things he said was, all has changed. And if you look at the workforce, you look at technology, you look at the rising power of China, the world is fundamentally different to what it is now than what it was even 10, 15 years ago. I mean, who would have even thought there'd be a President Trump coming into the White House in a couple of months' time? But from an Armenian perspective, sometimes you think all has not changed. If you're an Armenian, you'll think, well, the genocide is still not fully recognized. The Karabakh conflict is still in a tense stalemate after 25 years. Armenia continues to have high rates of poverty up to more than 30%. And as Armenians, we face challenges to maintain our identity, particularly in diaspora. And there was something else that Joe Biden said which caught me. And he made this point in a remark. He said, you need a highly skilled workforce to succeed. Now, if you think about that, and look at Armenia, I've described it as the smart nation. And it's been told to you why it's a smart nation. Whether it's the literacy or chess or the inventions that we do. But we don't always apply our smarts in a smart way.
Սասուն նշեց, որ կարելի չէ Հայաստանը պաղտադել այլ երկիրներով հետ, որոնք 100 տարեկան են կամ ավելի, բայց կարելի է պաղտադել այն երկիրներով հետ, որոնք նույն տարիքի էին, ինչ որ Հայաստանը ներկայիս. Օրինակները մեկը որբերավ Իսրայելի 25-ամյակն էր եւ ներկա իրավիճակը.
You know, we shouldn't necessarily compare it to countries that have been in existence for 100 years or more. But we should compare to other countries in a similar situation at their 25-year mark. So let's take some examples. So if you look at Israel, Israel celebrated its 25th year of anniversary of independence in 1973. That year, Israel faced the Yom Kippur War, which took over place over 3 weeks, and it was facing declining economic growth. The decade prior, Israel's main exports was the provision of citrus fruits to Europe. It was Jaffa oranges. That was its main export market. And then it faced the flood of migration from the Soviet Union. In 2016, Israel's economy is considered very highly developed, one of the highest in the Middle East. And according to the Israel's National Cyber Bureau, Israel accounted for 10% of global security technology And sales of its security software topped $60 billion in 2014 alone. That SEC software, selling of cybersecurity software alone, is six times greater than Armenia's national economy. Just to put things into proportion. Almost 80% of its high-tech products are exported.
Հայաստանը ավելի հաջող եւ փառկավաճ երկիր մտածնելու համար Սասոնի առաջարկները մեկը Երևանի մեջ նորարարության դեղամասը հաստատելն է։ Աննախ բացատրեց, թե ինչ կնշանակի նորարարության դեղամաս եւ ինչու Հայաստան կգնա ունենալ նորարարության դեղամասեր։
Another area which is a potential area for consideration is forming an innovation district in Yerevan. Innovation districts are models used by urban planners to stimulate economic growth in cities. These districts are dedicated zones exclusively for the purpose of creating businesses with entrepreneurs, startups, business accelerators and incubators. They are usually accessible by public transportation and have abundant access to public Wi-Fi. These innovation districts, there's over 80 of them around the world, and they've proven to be very successful. Armenia can do this. Armenia's center is very organized and it's very small. Those of you who've gone to Yerevan would notice Wi-Fi is available everywhere, even many areas where there's free Wi-Fi available. And startups can be located within a confined area. This would promote investment, targeted investment into Yerevan. On an area which is a high growth area.
Սասուն խոսեցավ հայ թրկական արտոնակրություններով եւ այդ արտոնակրությունների ցախողության մասին եւ ինչպես նաեւ հայ թրկական սահմանի փացման եւ արևդուրի մասին.
The second thing I want to talk to you about is the opening or the Turkey-Armenia border. Now I know this is a controversial topic, but I think that the Turkey-Armenia border should be opened with no preconditions on either side. As many of you are aware, in 2009, Turkey-Armenia signed protocols which intended to set a path of normalization between these two countries. Now, the intent of the protocols, the intent, in my view, was positive, justified, and necessary. But its execution was hopelessly poor, and some of its content was controversial. Now, you already know this, Turkey suspended the ratification process after then Prime Minister Erdogan said that Turkish ratification depended on settlement of the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. But Armenia has not suspended potential ratification. But there are a number of reasons why the protocols failed. And I think it's important we look at these failures and how we can take a look at that and how we can correct that. First thing is, the benefits of open borders was not clearly explained, particularly in economic terms. Now, the only research I've seen in terms of an economic study on whether the benefits or negatives of opening the border in economic terms was a report in 2009 by the Armenian Revolutionary Federation, which commissioned a report outlining the economic consequences of opening the borders. Since then, there's been no public documentation or comprehensive body of work. Now, this is very necessary. We need to see what the benefits, potential benefits are. If the borders are open, Armenia will immediately have access to a G20 economy with a population of more than 75 million people. It could potentially be a hub for outsourcing for Turkey if it wished to do so. There will be an opportunity for educational and cultural exchange. Now, a lot of people say if you open the borders, you're going to have Turkish products flood the Armenian market. And that may be the case. Already with closed borders, trade between these two countries which exist go via Georgia, it's in Turkey's favour 10-1. 10-1 already with closed borders. But to alleviate that concern, you can have a reduced or staged tariff reduction process. You can impose tariffs on Turkish goods, but reduce a period of level time until Armenian companies can be competitive. But there's a flip side to the argument. You might get goods coming in, but you might be also creating a market access that you never had before as well.
Փաթումի միակ ժխտական գետը Ադրբեջանը եւ շեշտեց որ սահմանի փակումը Թուրքիա կողմը հստակ խախտում է համաշխարհային արևդուրի գազմանկերության World Trade Organization-ի օրենքներուն.
And the only downside to opening the border in my view is not that it will be detrimental to Turkey nor would it be detrimental to Armenia. The only potential loser from opening borders is Azerbaijan. That would be the only, that's the only country that would lose. That would lose leverage with an important ally. Because when you don't have economic relations, you don't really have political relations. But if you do have economic relations, that influences directly your political relations. And you become reliant at one another, or more reliant. There's another aspect to this too. The World Trade Organization, which Turkey and Armenia are both members of, clearly states, and I quote, "A country should not discriminate between its trading partners and it should not discriminate between its own and foreign product services or nationals." The closing of the Turkey and Armenia border is a rejection of open trade and is a rejection of the World Trade Organization principles, which both Turkey and Armenia are signatory to. But we've never, as a community, campaigned against this. We've never raised this as an issue why it should not be closed.
Սասուն խոսեցավ նաև հայ թրքական արձանագրություններու երկրորդ խնդրահարույց գետին վրա։ Հայոց ցեղասպանության հարցին եւ իր գարձիկը հայտնեց, որ արձանագրությունները պետք չէ քննարկեն հայոց ցեղասպանության հարցը, եւ նշեց, թե իր գարձիկով երբ կարելի է հարցը քննարկել հայ թրքական հարաբերություններու ձիրեն ներս։
Second, obviously, both countries carry quite significant historical baggage, not least Turkey's non-recognition of the Armenian genocide. One of the problems of the protocols was the wording of one aspect of the protocols, and it's this. The protocol stated, I'm quoting one paragraph, implement a dialogue on the historical dimension with the aim to restore mutual confidence between the two nations, including an impartial and scientific examination of the historical records and archives to define existing problems and formulate recommendations. This notion of impartial and scientific examination of historical records immediately questions whether events of 19 were genocide. This was unnecessary in the protocols. It was unnecessary to even be put in there. Open borders need not address the events of 1915 immediately. This will occur, I believe, from cultural exchange. If you look at Turkey itself, if you're looking at the shift of Armenian issues or the Armenian genocide issues within Turkey, it hasn't been influenced necessarily by external forces. It's been influenced by internal forces. And what do I mean by internal forces? I'm talking about those hidden Armenians. Those Armenians describe people in Turkey who've got full or partial Armenian heritage, who over a number of different years concealed their identity. It's changed because books by Fethiye Çetin, who wrote My Grandmother, a memoir, a moving account how her grandmother hid her identity. It's been changed because journalists like Ahmet Abakay wrote a book, The Last Words of Hosanna, which describes the life of his mother and revealed how her mother concealed her identity until just before her death. This writer was a noted journalist in Turkey. It's been done by Hrant Dink. It's also been done by people like Stepan Kırkaşarian, who organised the memoir of his father, Emmanuel Kırkaşarian. It's a personal memoir of his story, which has sold more than 10,000 copies in Turkey alone.
Սասուն գարձիկ հայտնեց, որ սահմանի փացումը պետք է նախաձեռնեն երկու ժողովուրդները առանց այլ երկրներու միջամտության։ Հայ-թրքական հարաբերությունները պետք է հաստատվին, որովհետև երկու ժողովուրդներու շահերեն կփխի այս, եւ ոչ թե որովհետև երրորդ կողմեր իրենց շահեր ունին, եւ առաջարկեց, որ այս հարցով Հայաստանի կառավարությունը նշանակե հատուկ պատվիրակը։
Finally, open borders must become a movement between those two peoples. Peoples in Turkey and also in Armenia. It shouldn't be stipulated by third parties. Now, with this sign, you can see in the background, then Secretary Clinton, you had a foreign minister of Russia, you had other third parties who were pushing for this agreement to be signed for their national interest. But we need to restore relations because it's in Turkey's and Armenia's interest, not because of its other countries' interest. And this can only come within. The other thing I think that should occur is that the Armenian government should consider appointing a special envoy tasked with resetting this relationship. Now, special envoys is a diplomatic concept used by the United Nations and United States and many others to go into hot spots around the world. So you might have a special envoy for Syria, or you have my special envoy on a particular issue that's very complex to manage. The Armenian government, I think, needs to appoint someone specifically with this task. And it doesn't need to necessarily be from government. It could be a private citizen or a former ambassador. In fact, one person who's eminently qualified for this role is Ambassador Gergerian, who wrote a review for my book, who's a former US ambassador to Israel and Syria. He's eminently qualified to do something like this.